This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You have year-end goals. Constant Contact has what it takes to help you meet them faster. Sell more, raise more, and build real relationships with your audience with Constant Contact's digital marketing tools. Put the go in all your 2024 goals with email, social, SMS, and customized marketing campaigns built for you in just a few clicks. Now through December 4th, get 40% off any Constant Contact marketing plan for 3 months. Ready, set, go to ConstantContact.com and get started today.
Betwixt and between a front here, a little bit of drizzle remaining, but that's going to clear up later on. And then highs today of 71 as one front comes through, and that's going to be later on this afternoon. Then highs tomorrow of 78, so we're near 80 tomorrow, Thanksgiving. About a 50% chance for showers. I don't know if they're quite sure on the timing of the front yet, but it's going to get a lot cooler after that. I would dare say cold highs Friday, Black Friday, of only 59, 60 Saturday, 59 on Sunday. But wait, highs Monday of only 54 and lows Sunday night, Monday morning in the upper 30s, lower 40s. So not in time for Thanksgiving, but in time for December, we're getting some cool weather. Aaron Dusso joins us, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about the way the numbers turned out, the tally in the House and in the Senate. It's one thing to win an election, it's another to govern, right?
Yeah, exactly, and especially when you have as tight a majority in the House as they're going to have, you have little leeway to let people, members in purple districts kind of vote based on their district rather than the party.
So, say that part again?
So, I mean, normally if you had, say, a 15 or 20 seat majority, what you're going to elect those members that are in those tight districts, the purple districts, you're going to let them vote against the party sometimes just because you want them to win re-election, and so that helps them. But when you've only got one or two seats, you can't let them do that, and so they're going to have a much more conservative voting record.
I want you to say that again because it goes sometimes to the show business of politics where – okay, we're going to give you a pass on this one. You're going to have to vote no, even though you would want to vote yes because of your district. You understand what I'm trying to ask you?
Right, yeah. I mean, this is it is a part of a show because when you run for re-election, you want to be able to point to, you know, achievements. You might want, if you're in a purple district, you want to be able to point to your more moderate stance than either, you know, if you're a Democrat or a Republican, than the current party. And so when you have this close of a majority, you're not going to be able to do that. And so you probably are going to be a little bit harmed, you know, come 2 years from now when you're running for re-election.
So let's talk about party loyalty. Well, first off, let's talk about numbers. The final total, as I understand it, 221, 214?
Right, yeah. So I think they call those last three, you know, districts just the last couple of days. But so, yeah, you're talking 218 is the majority. So you have a three-seat majority. This is tiny.
So given the fact that Donald Trump is president and loyalty is valued beyond all else, it would seem like does every Republican immediately jump in line no matter what the issue is? And that goes to what you were talking about before, because of loyalty. And if the president says yes, if the president says sit, you don't look for a chair, you just sit down?
I think that's what the president certainly wants. And I think that's what's going to end up being the leadership in the House is going to have to force that kind of compliance, because they just can't afford to lose anyone. So, you know, these last couple of districts that were, you know, called, it's going to, you know, you might want to have a more moderate voting record, but you're just not going to be allowed to do it.
So when it comes to the Marjorie Taylor Greens, let me take a step back again with Matt Gaetz. Have they determined whether or not he resigned his seat in the previous Congress or in this one?
my understanding is that he resigned in the last Congress, and so you have this open seat, and he's not going to, he theoretically could take that seat again because he won it, in January, but he said he's not going to, so that's going to be left open.
So what does that mean? They have another that somebody's appointed?
Right. So likely it'll be an appointment until they can have a special election in Florida for that seat.
So when it comes to the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the I'm trying to think of some other real Trump partisans that led to the former speaker being ousted. Now you got Mike Johnson from Louisiana. You got Steve Scalise from Louisiana, the majority leader, the majority whip, I guess. What is Steve's title? I got confused here. The speaker would be Kevin. No, the speaker would be Mike Johnson, right, Professor?
Right, and right, Steve right. Scalise, yeah. Because I think it's majority leader.
The leader, not the whip, because the whip is beneath the leader, right?
Right. Yeah.
Majority leader. Yeah. So those are two pretty powerful positions for two guys from Louisiana, a relatively, I guess, weak politically state nationally to have. But they are very, very loyal and attached at the hip to Donald Trump. Do these two guys stay in position?
I think they're going to stay attached to Donald Trump because ultimately the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world are going to take their marching orders from Trump. And so, I mean, what that really shows is that the president, and the House are going to work really closely together to try and accomplish the president's goals. There's not going to be an independent, I wouldn't think anyway, an independent voice in that room.
There are no independents elected to the House, right, as it stands now?
Right. Not that I've seen, no.
So with that being the case, it would seem to me like even if, and you can talk about, let me take a break. When you come back, you can talk about purple districts, if you will. And I guess that might be a situation where maybe they voted for Trump, but or maybe they voted for Harris, but they got a Republican in Congress. We'll talk about that when we come back. And it just seems to me, I don't know how anything, any scenario could play out, given the fact that the House, for the most part, Republicans are, I'm just going to say it, terrified of getting on the wrong side of Donald Trump. First of all, if that's still a situation, does he still wield the same power that he did? And if that is the case, it would seem as though, with Mike Johnson being afraid of getting on the wrong side of a Marjorie Taylor Greene or what have you, or same with Steve Scalise, I don't mean necessarily negatively, I mean afraid politically, that maybe the president might have a rubber stamp when it comes to the House. We'll talk about it when we come back. Aaron Dusso, our guest, associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. And I'll ask you all at 504-260-1870, do you want your Republican representatives to fall in line in lockstep with whatever the president wants? Or if it's better for Louisiana, do you want them to go the other way? You can text me at 504-260-1870. Somebody texted in and said, seems like the Democrats fall in line with the party more than the Republicans do. I think that's might be, you're looking at that through a partisan prism, but we'll see what the professor thinks when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. 625, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Aaron Dusso, associate professor of political science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. The text comes in, Trump won popular vote in Electoral College. He has a clear mandate. The people have spoken. You are on the wrong side of history, and I'm sure here comes your liberal professor. Your side lost. You obviously don't understand what a clear mandate is. Educate yourself. Well, 71 million people did vote for Harris, and I don't think that they have no voice in any way that the country is run, and they do have how many Democrats in the House of Representatives? It's not always the majority wins, right, Professor?
No, right. I mean, the use of the term mandate is kind of, again, this is a pop discussion. It might be important on TV, but in the end, you still got to win the votes in Washington, right? And so that's what we're talking about with regards to the really close House. And so Donald Trump needs to keep his caucus in the House in line. And he's not going to, and my guess is that he'll probably do a pretty good job of it because I think many Republicans don't want to be on the other side of his tweeting. And that's because that's a big problem for them.
So if that's the case, does he have a rubber stamp when it comes to the House?
I mean, rubber stamp, it might be a bit far, but I think he's going to, essentially make the decisions on what he wants to see. He certainly is going to consult with Johnson, Speaker of the House, about what he thinks he can get done. But in the end, it's going to be Donald Trump driving that show.
When it comes to the Senate, talk about that, if you will.
I mean, that the Senate, they have a bit more leeway, 50 53 seats in the Senate, so there's a bit more options there. But still, it's really close. Ultimately, once you get over the majority, what the next step is to get a supermajority so you can avoid the filibuster, and that's what they don't have. And so in the end, whether they had 50 votes and they can use the vice president to break a tie, or they have 53, is not that big a difference there.
So what is this likely to look like the next 4 years, given the, well, at least next 2 years, I should say, until the midterms, with the makeup of the House of Representatives and the Senate?
Right. I mean, those first 2 years, you're exactly right. The first 2 years are critical, and that's where they're going to push as much and as fast as possible. And that we've seen, you know, over the last several administrations that have come in with a majority in both the House and the Senate. They do, those first 2 years are critical. But what's interesting here, and I think it's a complete unknown, is how does Donald Trump handle the Supreme Court's willingness to say the president of the United States is immune when he's doing things that are part of his core powers of the Constitution, and overseeing the federal government, you know, and particularly the executive branch of the government and all that bureaucracy is a core power in the Constitution. And so when he, you know, receives any pushback from Congress there, will he really exert that kind of power where I can just ignore the law?
What would that look like? Give me an example of that.
Well, so the key, you know, one I'm watching right now is going to be, you know, the budget. So Congress can appropriate funds, say, for the Department of Education to do stuff. But, you know, the Office of Management and Budget is within the executive office of the president, and that's where, you know, the power might lie to impound that money. Now, there's the Impoundment Act of 1974, I think it was, which would theoretically make it against the law for the president to impound those funds for more than 45 days. But it is part of his core duties, and so does he need to follow the law in that case? And then in theory, what he could do is simply say, I can starve the Department of Education, even if I can't completely eliminate, because that require an act of Congress. I can starve it so that it doesn't have any functioning anymore. And that would essentially be breaking the law, but he's immune to any, you know, law problems. So we'll see. That's fascinating to me.
I can't imagine a Republican in the House risking the wrath of Donald Trump.
I can't either, especially this close. You know, because every time it's happened, you know, the person has found themselves on the outside, right? So Liz Cheney, she is, you know, a Republican as Republican be, and yet she's on the outside of the Republican Party now. So if it can happen to Liz Cheney, it can happen to you.
Right. That's why I just think it's going to be more like a rubber stamp, but we'll see. Thank you, Professor. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Aaron Dusso, Associate Professor of Political Science at Indiana University, Indianapolis. We'll talk to Aaron Bendeley about tax reform and the governor's measures that went through right now. Time for WWL First News.